Okay. Das Fila 66. Two more sessions to finish the third chapter. How about that? Okay, so in the last session we learned together, we saw a fascinating idea that I hope I understood. But I'm admitting as we get to the end of this chapter, we're hitting some very, very difficult things to explain. But what we saw last time was a beautiful explanation of the Pachad Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Kuttner, where he explained that Yaakov wasn't a compromise between the Midah of Chesed and the Midah of Din. He wasn't a compromise between the Midah of his grandfather and his father. Instead, he understood how to use both. Avraham was the paradigm of chesed, of giving, of doing. Yitzchak was the paradigm of pulling in. And Yaakov wasn't somewhere in the middle. Yaakov had two role models to look at. And therefore, what his strength was to be able to be different things at different times of his life. And that's actually why we do see that Yaakov plays different roles. On the one hand, he's supposedly the person of Emes, and yet he tricks Lavan and he tricks his brother out of the bracha. At some times we see him acting in a very powerful manner, Yisrael, and at other times we see him taking a much lesser role, which usually comes along with the word Yaakov, with the name Yaakov. So that was what Yaakov contributed. It really wasn't a third way. It really wasn't a third option, a third midah. It was the ability to use the midos in a way that allow for things to survive. And remember, what we said was that rachamim, and this is such an important thing. I know I keep repeating it, but you need to understand it for today again. But it's really important to understand around the time of the Yom Narayim that rachamim is not pity, and is not mercy in a regular in the way we usually say mercy. Because we don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels sorry for us, feels has mercy and says, okay, I won't punish you with none of those things. But in fact, we believe that the relationship we have with Hashem is very complex. Mercy is a combination of knowing when to be a chesed and knowing when to use din. Knowing when to use, a real parent knows how to balance those two things. Knows how to balance giving to the child and pushing the child to be his best. When to give the child a reward and when to give the child a punishment, not for the sake of punishment, but for the sake of making the child better. And when we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, please have mercy on us, what we're saying is, we promise we're going to do better. We're asking that you give us the time to do that. We're asking that you give us the time and the ability to do that. It's not that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forget the fact that we're deserving of punishment or forget the fact that we sinned. It's just that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish us with the full weight of his punishment every time we sin, so we'd never have a tomorrow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a tomorrow. His goal is that we should be as good as we can be. To do that, there needs to be a complex combination of when to punish us, when to give us more time, when to reward us. How to do things that are ultimately for our best. And this was the Midah of Yaakov. What he's going to explain today, and this is a very difficult piece for me to understand fully, but what he's going to explain today is that the tefillah of Yaakov, and actually the concept of tefillah itself, relates very closely to this idea of what rachamim is. So let's try to see this. Shleimus tfiloso shel Yaakov bakoshos harachamim. What is Yaakov's role? Yaakov's role and what the tefillah of the night is, what the tefillah he gave us, is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rachamim, asking to give us a tomorrow. And that's such a significant thing to think about each night as we daven Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is a very, very special tefillah. We know that we haven't gotten it all right that day. We know that. We know that the day didn't work out. It never works out exactly as we hoped. We had all these high hopes when we woke up in the morning, and then the day didn't work out exactly. So what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tomorrow is another chance. And that's really what we're asking when we ask him for Rosh Hashanah. Just give us another chance. Let us try this again. Let us try to get it right next time. So, Michlal Shlemuso Shel Yaakov Hu Shlemus Tfiloso. Part of this idea that Yaakov achieved perfection is the fact that his tefillah also achieved a state of perfection as well. He was the best mispalel of all of the avos. Vayikralo El Elohei Yisrael. The pasuk says, very hard to translate the pasuk to know where to stop. He called him El Elohei Yisrael. Who did the calling? Who's calling whom? Says the Ramban, V'rabosenu darshu shakadosh baruch hu kara'o liyakov El. Our rabbis understand from this pasuk that Hashem called Yaakov El. Now, El we usually associate with God, but it doesn't really mean God. Does anyone know what El really means? What does that word mean? El. El is a very powerful being. Okay, El is the word that we use to speak of power. El Elyon, a very powerful, powerful being. Could Shebrichu Karlo Liyakov El? The Zohar says, and again, this is very hard. Don't give up on me in the next week or two, especially the next week. The next week's shiur is easier. But don't give up if we don't fully understand today. God called Yaakov El. Amr Leh, he said to him, Ana Eloha Be'iloi Va'ant Eloha Be'tata. I am the God, I am the ruler up here, and you're basically the ruler down there. So that's what it says in the Zohar. Shat Sadik Moshel Besedera Olam Lasos Nisim Ulvatel Xerus Betfilosa. That Sadik has such a powerful tefillah that he is able to cancel decrees. He's able to move things with his tefillah. We know this from Yaakov last week, two weeks ago. We know that Yaakov Avinu says that he took Shechem Becharbi Uvikashti. Right, I took the city of Shechem with my bow and with my sword. The problem is, we never see that he lifted a sword, ever. In fact, the city of Shechem was taken, if anything, by people who did have a sword. And who was that? Shimon and Levi. So what does Yaakov mean when he gives the city of Shechem to Yosef and he says, I took Shechem with my sword and my bow? And the Targum Onkelos says that he wasn't referring to military prowess. Solusi uvausi. Whatever happened in Shechem was because of my tefillah. The tefillah of Yaakov was so powerful that he, in fact, took the city of Shechem. Okay, it's a very interesting thing. I heard from Rabbi Yonatan Saban. He suggested that, that what Yaakov was really saying is, you think... It looks like Shimon and Levi took the city of Shechem by surprise and killed all the males. It looks like that's what took the city of Shechem. But I'm telling you, that wasn't why Shechem fell. Shechem fell because when Dinah was taken hostage, I prayed. And my prayer led to the fall of the city of Shechem. Not what you think. You think your actions did it? It was really just HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it because of my tefillah. Again, a very deep and difficult concept. But that things really happen in this world because of our davening, not because of our actions. You have to do actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to put in your 2 cents. But really, if things come from Hashem, the problem we have really is to believe that things come from Hashem. If we really believe that things that happen to us come from Hashem, then it would be a lot easier for us to believe that it comes as much or more because of our prayers than our actions. The problem is we can't see that. When we get better, we attribute it to the doctor or to the pill. So therefore, it's difficult to understand, well, what could tefillah have to do with that? But if we really believed that the refuah that we have comes from Hashem, that he's the one that makes us healthy, and he simply wants us to go through certain motions in order to get us there, it's not so difficult to believe it comes from tefillah and doesn't come from from our actions. So Yaakov was able with his statements, with his words, to move mountains. Okay.
So,
Yes.
I'm thinking incorrectly. Back a few weeks ago, I think we discussed that wasn't Yaakov's reaction to his two sons after when they came back, sort of, he didn't quite react in the way that, or talk to them in the way they
Yeah,
expected to talk to him.
Yaakov was pretty upset that they actually picked up the sword. He felt that they were
So
wrong in
did
attacking.
Yaakov really think that his prayers alone was going to?
I don't know. I don't know. If in fact he felt that it was inappropriate to pick up the sword, then maybe he did feel it would be his prayers alone. He certainly thought it was a drastic move to actually wage war against the town, and that God would have taken care of them otherwise. It's
But
difficult.
wouldn't, but God does things for a reason.
Right.
So he let them kill all the men,
Yeah.
because that was part of the plan. And it was because Yaakov prayed, he said, okay,
But HaKadosh
now
Baruch Hu,
take the
it's a very
swords.
difficult question, and it's a good question that you're asking. But what Yaakov seemed to be implying to them was, God is going to follow our lead. My prayer would have been enough to have things where God would have worked it out for us for anyway. You decided to pick up your sword, so he let you do it that way. But we could have had it in a much cleaner way, in a much better way, in a much, right? Okay. Fine. Let me skip just a little bit. Ukmoshin is bar la'el be'inyan tfilaseyem shel Avraham Yitzchak. Shehu habakasha al miloi chesronam be'inyan avodah. Just like when Avraham davened Hashem, he said, bring more chesed into the world. And when Yitzchak davened, he said, I'll accept your din. I want that we should earn things. I want that we should be able to get things by the letter of the law. What does Yaakov pray for? Yaakov's prayer is effectively that Hashem should have more rachamim. That's what his role is. Yaakov's prayer is to pray for rachamim for his descendants. That's what it is. And who better than Yaakov? Because again, what is rachamim? Rachamim is not just mercy. Rachamim is the ability to see a tomorrow. Rachamim is the ability to get through the night so that I can have another chance in the morning. And there's so many things in Yaakov's life, getting through the night, that first night when he was out there and he saw the vision of the ladder, getting through the night, the fight with the angel of Esav, getting through the proverbial night of all of his years of being in exile and being able to make it to the other side. Yaakov's whole life was about this idea that I need to go through difficult times, but you're going to stay with me to give me another chance, to give me another time. And who better than someone who himself had 12 children, right? His whole being was allowing this family to not only come into being, but to survive, to be able to go forward. He quotes then, Kolo hu she'omed l'Yisrael kasher hem nimtzayim b'din. He says, whenever the Jewish people are being judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a threat that will be destroyed because we'll be found guilty, he's the one that steps in and brings about rachamim. He's the one in heaven who prays for rachamim for his children. And he quotes a piece which I did not get to see inside. This is from something that's said before Tikkios called Raya Mehemna. It's said on Rosh Hashanah. I haven't found it in any of my machzorim, but there seems to be a very strange Kabbalistic thing that is said before the Tikkias Shofar. And what is that? That on the day of Rosh Hashanah, I'll translate it for you, Yitzchak comes out and he calls for. And he basically calls for Esav to take the stage. This is a replay. We know what this has happened in the beginning of Parshas, in the middle of Parshas Toldos. So Yitzchak calls for Esav, and Rivka brings in Yaakov. So in heaven, in some kind of way, and again, I can't really explain what this means, we say that on the day of Rosh Hashanah, Yitzchak, who is all about din, tries to bring in Esav. And in this scheme, in the way that this story is being understood, Yitzchak, who's the person who's all about din, who's all about receiving what you reward, is bringing in Esav seemingly to hurt the Jewish people for their sins. Remember, Yitzchak is Midas HaDin. Yitzchak says you have to earn everything. Yitzchak says, I welcome the punishment if I earned it, if that's what I earned. So in a replay of what happened in the world, when Yitzchak called in Esav to give him the food before the brachas, right? So on Rosh Hashanah, when we go to Midas HaDin, Yitzchak calls in Esav. I think it means he calls in Esav to give punishment to the people because the people are found guilty. And then suddenly Rivka calls upon Yaakov and says, Yaakov, you need to come. You need to come and save the day. And Yaakov enters the picture. Yaakov speaks for the praise for the Jewish people. V'hakol kol Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger is subsided. And Yaakov saves the Jewish people every single year.
That's true.
That's very strange. I don't know what to do with that. Even if I found a copy of it, I didn't feel I'd find a copy of an explanation of it. So I didn't sit in the YU library trying to find a machzor that actually had this in there. But whoa, what a deep idea that encounter between Yitzchak and Esav, and on the other hand, Yaakov jumping in at the last minute, is actually something which describes what goes on every year in Shemayim in some kind of way. But Yaakov's role is to pray for the eternal nature of this people, to pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get us to the next day. And that's effectively, without understanding all of this, and I don't understand it either, that's how Ma'ariv can become meaningful. We look back on a day that didn't work out exactly as we hoped. We look back on the things that we didn't accomplish. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us another chance tomorrow. Let us get it right. I'm not saying that today was my best day. I'm asking you not to judge me on how today went. Today was not a perfect day. I said at the beginning of the day I was going to be better about X and Y. I was maybe a little better, but I didn't really get it right. So what I'm praying for you now before I go to sleep is to give me another chance to replay that tomorrow, to try it again. The tefillah of Yaakov is Arvis. His bar, we explain that night is the time when chesed and din are put together. Chesed and din combine. The first part of the night is a continuation of din, which is the afternoon. Once midnight comes, we begin to throw in chesed. Night is a time of both chesed and din. Zman zeh hu shlemus michlol hayamama ve'ikr kiyuma. And again, you might think that din and chesed are opposites. They're not. In the hands of a loving Hashem, in the hands of a loving parent, both the candy and the time out are both there for one purpose, so that the child can achieve his or her potential. So morning is all about the candy, is all about the reward. And afternoon is all about the timeout, is all about the punishment. The night is the time when we realize that they weren't two separate things. And that's effectively what we say. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We understand that sometimes in the mornings of our life, you look like Hashem. You look like everything is chesed. And then in the afternoons of our life, it looks like everything is difficult. We realize it's all one. Everything is there so that we can achieve our potential. But we can only do that, God, if you give me a tomorrow. So give me a tomorrow. I appreciate that I had difficulties today. I'll accept that those difficulties were here to make me better. But you got to give me another chance tomorrow to grow from that and to build another day. But Laila Yeshna Midas Emuna. At night you have Emuna. Emunascha Balelos. What is this faith? What does that mean, that night is about faith? Shabbat Tamun Sod Kiyom HaNetzach Shel Klal Yisrael. That within it is the secret of the future, the eternal future of the Jewish people. Every night we face the fact that Jewish history as a whole has not yet been a success. We haven't done what we were supposed to do. He chose us. He gave us things. He did so much chesed. He judged us. And now is just this long night. Now is just this long night of Jewish history. But we believe that everything that's happened to us till this point was for a reason so that we can achieve our potential. That's what the emunah is, that he's keeping us around because he has a plan for us. If we get through this long night, it's because he wants us to be able to achieve our potential. Tfilas harachamim, hishleimus hatfila. Hatfila, he had vegas bo yisbarach. And then he says one more thing. He explains that tfila and rachamim, and listen closely, he'll explain what it means, effectively do one thing, and they make us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Maharal says, that tefillah is dveikus, right? We've discussed this in other contexts. There's no other mitzvah that allows us to interface with God as much as prayer. We're actually talking to him. We're not doing a mitzvah in front of him. We're not doing a mitzvah because he told us to. We're actually encountering him. We're talking to him. Sometimes we don't feel like that. But if we actually took tefillah seriously, then it forces you to feel a closeness to God. You're talking to him. You're talking to him. Right? I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I recently saw a beautiful idea that the reason why we whisper when we pray is because we're supposed to be imagining that the person, that the one we're talking to, is close enough to hear us in a whisper. If we screamed when we daven, then we might imagine that God is up in heaven. But if we whisper, then we realize we have to be talking right into his ear. It's a fascinating thing to think about. If you're whispering tefillah, you're saying it at the volume that's necessary to say it to someone who's literally standing right in front of you, or maybe even leaning in with his ear to hear you. So tefillah, if we stop and think about what it is, gives us a connection to God. B'midas harachamim yeshna shleimus be'inyan zeh. And when we pray for rachamim, it's the closest we get to God. It's the closest we get. Why? Shehare inyan midas hachesed, hu lehischased lifnei midas, lefi midaso shel hanose, b'li lehitchashei b'mekabel. I'll do this outside. Remember, we explained. What is chesed really? What is chesed? Chesed is where I give you, or God gives me, regardless of my situation. That's what chesed is. Chesed means it wasn't earned at all. Din, what is din on the other hand? Din means, judgment, means I completely earned it. Right? I completely earned it. So when someone does chesed, The entire force for that chesed comes from the giver. It has nothing to do with the receiver. The receiver did nothing. It doesn't matter who the receiver is. The receiver can put a bag over their head. I'm just giving. On the other hand, when something is earned, then the camera focuses on the one who earned it. It's not about the giver. The giver had to give. This person earned it. Rachamim means that I want you to get to know me, God. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a continued relationship with you. I don't want this to just be what I earned, regardless of who you are. I don't want you to give me, regardless of what I did and who I am. Rachamim means understand me. Create a plan for me. Create a future for me. I know that's going to involve a certain amount of good things and a certain amount of bad things, but what I really care about is that you get to know me. So just as tefillah is the act of getting close to interacting, interfacing with God, rachamim is the interfacing of man and God. Because it's not only about the giver, God. It's not only about the receiver, man. It's about God looking closely at me and my life and what I need to succeed and giving me a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Midas harachamim inyana lehityaches l'matzavo shel nivra. Midas harachamim means Lehityaches lematzavo. You have to relate to the person. If you want to be a good parent, you got to get to know your kid. If you don't know your kid, you don't know when a little bit of carrot versus a little bit of stick. When I pray to God for rachamim, what I'm saying is, I want to be as close to you as possible. I want you to really know me. I don't want you to treat me like one of 6 billion people or who knows how many trillion or quadrillion beings in the world. I want you to treat me with rachamim. I want to know you. I want to get close to you. I want you to know everything about me. Mizuk ha-chesed b'din na'aseh mipnei hischashus v'matzavo shel nivra. Knowing how to combine chesed and din comes from getting to know the person, getting to know my situation, having a connection to me. So just like tefillah causes a relationship between the two parties, asking for rachamim in and of itself is asking for the closest relationship that I can have with God, a relationship that is about the details, a relationship where he's looking out for everything to see what's for my best. And he quotes a famous Maharal, and we'll end with this. The Maharal says that, listen to what he says, all I could do is try to read and translate. I've read this Maharal 150 times, Bli Guzma, but he tries to explain it. Yaakov was the third of the Avos, and he created Ma'ariv, which is the last of the Tfilos. Why? The Dover Zek Keneged Masha Ha'olam Hu Biyad Hashem Yisbarach. The reason why Yaakov wrote the night tefillah is because at night, the whole world is handed back to God. Ulekach tefillas arvis balayla, ki halayla moresha ha'olam hu biyad Hashem Yisbarach. Tefillas arvis, which is the perfect prayer, which is the prayer that most closely connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do we pray that prayer? Not when we're out there working. Not when we wake up in the morning and we feel independent from God. Not when we're at work. Not when we're doing things. But when we come back, just before we say to God, before we go to sleep, I hereby give my soul back to you. I give up. You're really in control of everything. Ki kamosha ha'adam mafkid nishmato v'rucho l'Hashem Yisbarach b'layla, just like every night, as we say in Adon Olam, ki biyadcha afkid ruchi, just like every night I say, okay, God, I'm done. You take over for the next 6 hours. That's it. I give my soul back to you. I'm not going to be around now. I'm going to go to sleep. You make sure I'm okay. What we effectively do at the end of the day is we say, I'm giving myself back to you. Kach kol ha'olam kulo biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'layla. Therefore, the whole world, just like we turn our soul back to God, the whole world returns to God. It's a wild concept. Every morning, God gives the world to mankind. And every night, when the world shuts down, the world ends up going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's at night that mankind has the closest connection to God. During the day, we feel independent. We feel that we can do everything. We feel impervious to everything that goes on around us. It's at night, and at the nights of our life, where we recognize that everything's really in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we take our lives and the world, and we say, here, take this back. This is really yours. It's then we actually feel closest to Him. Ki Yaakov hu biyad Hashem Yisparach yoser mishar avos. There was none of the avos that was closer to God than Yaakov. Kitzuras tam chakuka b'kisei akavod, because we have this concept that the image of Yaakov was on the very kisei akavod. Ulekach Yaakov befrat tikein tefillas arvis, and that's why he had to make ma'ariv, because it's the closest we get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't fully understand this Maharal. It's a very central Maharal, and I've read it many, many times. It's at the beginning of his Nesiv HaAvoda. But what effectively he says is like this. What is night? Night are the times where there's Hester Panim. where I can't see God, where I don't know where God is. Instead of looking at those times when I feel so lost as times when I'm distant from Hashem, we have to turn those times to say, God, I'm in your hands. I don't know where to walk myself. It's too dark. I can only rely on you. It's amazing that some of the times when we're most desperate in life and we kind of say, where is God? Those are the times that, to be quite honest, he's the only one that can help us. When we get to that most desperate moment and we say, God, how come you forgot about me? What we're effectively saying at the same time is that nobody else can help except for you. As long as we think there's something we could do, there's a doctor we could go to, there's a hishtablus, there's something we could do, in those times, when on the one hand, we feel like God's taking care of me, I'm taking care of me. Because there are things I can do to perfect my own situation. I don't feel abandoned by God because I'm not thinking about God, because I think it was me. It's at the most desperate moments of night when, if we can draw the strength in the emunah, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, that's it, I'm done, you take over from here. I don't see you right now, I don't know what the plan is, but specifically because I don't know what the plan is, now's the time that I need to turn it over for you. That's the closest we can get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closest we can get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we mean when we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Yaakov is this ability of being close to him because we have no one else to rely on except him. And he ends by saying, Im nirtzeh lahagdir es tefilas shel Yaakov. If you want to sum up what the tefillah of Yaakov is, he says, use the word that the rabbis used for tefillah. In the Gemara, a synonym for tefillah is rachameh, mercy. Mercy. Because really, what is tefillah and when do we daven our best tefillos? Not during the day. Not when we get up in the morning and we're thinking about what we're going to do. Not when we're in the middle of the day and we try to pull away and daven mincha. But at night when I say, okay, I get it. This was the day that I thought I could take care of everything myself. I know. This was the day I got up. I thought I could really do it. But it's the end of the day. I'm tired. My body's going to sleep. Everything I have is going to shut off except for you. You're still going to be there. And I'm going to rely on you during this night in order to be able to get there for the morning. That's the closest we get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is when we admit that we have nothing except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the midah of Yaakov Avinu. That's the midah of Yaakov Avinu, that we have nothing. Yet Avram lived a life of chesed. Yitzchak was known for his life of din. Yaakov says, I don't have anything. I'm just whatever you need me to be right now. You need me to be this, you need me to be that. I just want to be close to you. I just want to rely on you. I need to rely on you. And that's why his tefillah was so very special. I did my best. Not an easy piece from Rav Rakovsky. If he was well, I would try to visit him if we get into Eretz Yisrael. We'll see if I can try to talk to him if I'm able to get into the country. But we'll then continue next week, Mitzvah Hashem, with Shir number 67, when we'll finish Im Ne'ilata Ma'aracha, a summary of everything that we learned for the last, I don't know, 3-4 months about Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. And then we'll move into the concept of Tefillah being like Korban, which I'm talking a little bit about on the daily Tefillah thoughts, but he takes it in a much more, you know, methodological and fundamental kind of way. Okay, so that's what I hope. I don't know. Adina and I are trying to get into Israel. If you didn't hear, we had a granddaughter.
Mazel tov.
Baruch Hashem.
Mazel tov.
So we are trying to get into Israel to be with the kids. So I'm not sure if we'll have Shir next week. It'll depend what time zone I'm in, but I will let, please God, let everybody know.
Please let us know.
Okay.
Hope you get into Israel.
Yes. We really Enjoy hope so. The baby. We really hope so. Absolutely. Well, I'll put the name on the chat on Thursday. Mirtz Hashem, they'll
okay.
name the baby.
Looking forward to
okay.
it.
Okay, thanks Great. Everybody.
Good Beautiful night. Share.
Good night. Thank you.
And Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
Mazel.